Hello and welcome to Inside View, a weekly public service show on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Downey. Thanks for joining me. Our guests today are Lincoln County Commissioners Rick Black and Tim Bubb. Just remind folks, if they want, the importance of signing up to get these weather alerts. I know a lot of folks have done it, but I've talked to Sean Grady with Lincoln County EMA, and he continues to get the word out. Hey, sign up for these alerts. Let us take care of it. We'll let you know.
Yep. Yeah. It works. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah, and as a guy who knows about that, I mean, you are an old farmer. Yep. I think you said.
He's not an old farmer.
Well, no, he's old.
I'm old. He's just a farmer.
Just old.
At heart.
You got to keep your eye on the weather.
Oh, yeah.
You got to know what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're a boater, you need to keep an eye on the weather.
Good point.
I mean, it's hey, here's one thing that I might mention that maybe people don't realize. You know, traditionally, we've grown up around this area. And local fire departments and others, there are about 30 or 35 tornado sirens in the county. Most of them are aging out. They're very expensive to replace. And what the research has shown is that now with people in their homes with air conditioning and homes shut up and cars, they don't be driving around with the windows down anymore, the windows are up. Unless you're pretty close to a tornado siren, you don't hear them. Yep. And of course, if at night, if you're asleep. So what's happened is Sean Grady tells us, and you've had Sean on your program, mm-hmm. that it's much more effective to go, everybody, you know, 99% of the folks have these little cell phones that they're more than a phone, but the phone app that you can put on it through County EMA and Homeland Security basically gives you the alerts right to your phone. So if you're on a boat, if you're driving around, if you're at a ball game, if you're at home, if you're asleep at night, those alerts will go off. Rick, do you have it on your phone?
Oh, yes.
I've got it. And, you know, my wife gets mad. Cells. The phones will go off at night. And it's like, but hey, we would never have heard the tornado siren in Heath because, I mean, the house is shut up. So a lot of people are wondering, what about tornado sirens? Well, most of them still are operational. There's a few that have aged out. And to be honest with you, they're owned by local communities, local fire departments, and most of them they cost thousands to replace. They don't hold up well because of conditions, and so we're not replacing a lot of the tornado sirens. What we're encouraging people to do, I mean, the ones that are still up and functional are fine, they work, and but you know, you watch the media, listen to your radio station here, but also put the alert on your phone. That way, wherever you're at, even if you're asleep or taking a nap like you do in the afternoon, Dave, you know,
I had to take that
shot. You know, I just like to slip this stuff on you.
I mean, come on.
Hey, you're an early
guy. Somebody's a little older than me.
You're a sign-on guy. I know about those afternoon naps. But seriously, sign up for the alerts, because what will happen is they'll go off whenever, and you'll get the alert, and then you can go and tune to local media or the TV and see what the radar looks like and what to do. But you know, I've heard that from several people. They either can't hear tornado sirens or they don't have as many as there used to be. Well, there were never enough. There's only 30-some of them, and this is a huge county. Yeah. So, you know, if you're everywhere, and there's some very rural areas, you never had a tornado siren and never heard it. So don't rely on tornado sirens. If they still are operational in your area and you happen to hear it, well, guess what? You take a hint. But get your phone. Put the app on your phone. It's free. And guess what? The folks at our 911 center, which we operate in the city of Heath, when they get these alerts again from the National Weather Service, they pound that alert right in there. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, you're much safer to have that.
And, you know, a lot of times, because this county is so big, and I've talked to Sean about this, you know, it could be, and I live in Pataskala, you know, you're out in the Hanover area. No, down in the Union Township area. Not yet. But, you know, what may be bad weather somewhere might not be. And I'm glad you brought up the boating because of Buckeye Lake. I mean, if you're out there at the wrong time, that could be a very dangerous situation.
Let me give you another example. We've had incidents out Black Hand Gorge where people are out in the rural areas, out Licking Valley area, the Hanover area, way out, you know, in Black Hand Gorge or out, you know, out east in the Fallsbury or whatever. You're in very remote areas, and the cell phones do work in those areas, and you get the alerts. But, you know, you're otherwise, you're on your own out there if you don't get the alert, because if you're on the river, You know, if you're kayaking on the river down the Licking, beautiful trip down toward Dillon, but you don't know if a storm's brewing, and that way you get that alert.
Yeah,
and you know to get out of the water and get to your car.
You know, you just brought that up, and I just dovetail into another thing. You know, it's the summer months. Folks are going to get out, and both of you can speak to this. I mean, is there a better county to have a summer month and just be able to get out and do things?
There's
bike
so
path.
Much to yeah. do. Like you said, Dillon, the kayaking, the county parks, so forth. I mean, numerous parks, riding trails, walking trails, plenty to do in Licking County.
The Licking
all
Park
over the county.
And the Licking Park District, I know they are doing so many different things. Mm-hmm. You've got OSU Extension, Master Gardeners, and all that. I mean, it's not hard to find these
no.
things. That's what makes, I think, Licking County so
yeah,
special.
If you can't find something, you're not looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot to go on.
Talk about the Park District real quick. As Rick knows, we've replaced two major bridges in eastern Licking County, at Clay Lick and at Staddens Bridge, over the last half decade. And we are encouraging the Park District and ODNR to not only install but improve the kayak and canoe entry points to the Licking River at both those bridge sites. We have one at Staddens Bridge. It kind of got washed out in the high water. They're redoing it, and we're building with ODNR's cooperation, because they own some land out there in the Park District, a better canoe and kayak launching point and parking point there at the Clay Lick Bridge, 668, so you can get on the Licking River safely, because we don't want people parking along the road. We want people to get off the road and safely access the river and that sort of thing. So one thing is, you might we would encourage people to go online with the Licking Park District. Number one, you can, every month you can see their lists of programs and activities. But number two, I believe that the Park District right now is soliciting ideas and input mm-hmm. for a new and expanded kayak and canoe launching point there at Clay Lick. We do have sets near Toboso and near the Black Hand. There is some ODNR land down there. And I believe the state's going to put some money into that parking area and that canoe launch. But if you have some ideas or thoughts about that, I think they're actually soliciting suggestions mm-hmm. now. So a great place to go for information on the outdoor recreation is the Licking Park District website.
And there's so many great places to go across Licking County. Well, you mentioned bridges, and we were talking about that prior to the show. I know you just got an important bridge was just finished not too long ago out St. Louisville, Utica area that is helping folks. But Commissioner Black, I mean, there are so many bridges across this county. Oh. And, you know, big, small, it doesn't matter. They all need some sort of attention.
They need maintenance. I mean, right now, State Route 37 is closed in Union Township for two bridge replacements. You know, I live on Canyon Road, and it's like a state route at the moment for a township road. And it's
so
amazing.
2 month closure, do you know?
I think it's three.
I think it's summer, 120
it's a whole
days.
120, whole summer, yeah, whole 120 summer project. Days, but yeah. At times it's fun to watch these people who aren't used to driving on township roads.
Slow them down.
They're like, oh my gosh, there's no striping on the roads or anything. And so they're a little bit bewildered driving on these rural roads.
But these bridges need to be tended
to.
I mean, it's not like you can just, that one's not that important. You know, we were talking at the Utica Ice Cream Festival, folks were so happy that was, I can't think of the name of the...
Ginger Hill.
Thank you. They were talking about, you know, how they had to go out and about and around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these bridges are a lifeline for a lot of folks.
Well, and then we've got Thornwood Drive closed, too, between Lee's Road and Irving Wick. And so right out in that area right now, it's a real traffic nightmare at times.
Summer construction season. Yep. There's going to be that sort of thing, but no, you're right. 37, that's a major artery.
Yeah.
And so that people should plan around that for the summer. I know it's inconvenient, but guess what? You got to take care of these roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. Dave, you mentioned bridges. Do you know how many bridges there are in the county outside of the city systems? Because we maintain the county bridges and the township bridges. Do you have any idea how many there are?
I remember you telling me one time, but I didn't remember.
It's over 500.
I was going to say 400.
No, it's a huge number.
It's a huge number.
Earlier in this decade, we replaced about 150 bridges over about a 10-year period. We borrowed a bunch of money and did that to get caught up. But we're doing bridges all the time. We have a crew under County Engineer Jared Nur. They actually do deck replacement themselves. And then we contract out, like Ohio Bridge did Ginger Hill, $2.1 million. So we also pay to have new bridges put in. It's a never-ending process because they age out. Yeah, just like news directors.
Thanks a lot. How about commissioner? Well, he is just taking his shots.
This is my day, man.
You're in the bullseye. You are in the crosshairs, Dave.
Are we still welcome to come here?
Shut his mic off. But, you know, you talk about, explain the process. Is that for Jared and his crew coming out? Do folks say to you, hey, come out here and look at this bridge? I mean, how does it work?
The law says every year the county engineer will inspect all the bridges. So his people actually go out, Bill Evans and some of the folks, and Rick knows them, they actually go out and they don't just drive over and say, oh, there's a bridge. They get out, they walk under it, they look at corrosion. And the reason Ginger Hill was shut down in a hurry and replaced, and it wasn't replaced at the right time of year, is because the crew went out and said, this bridge doesn't look too sturdy. So Jared Nur went out. They went down to the bridge. A truck went over it. And one of the I-beams, they didn't realize, had come apart. It sheared. And so the bridge was flexing as the truck went over it. And Jared said, okay, the bridge is immediately closed. That's it. We're done. Because, you know, you got a farmer with heavy equipment. It's like, okay, you're going to be in the river. And so, I mean, that's what they do. They inspect under the bridges. That was a failure on that one. And they had to immediately close it. And, of course, then the trouble was the closure was over a winter and you couldn't get it finished till spring. And unfortunately, it took a little longer to get it done just because of weather. But no, they literally inspect every bridge. And Rick has seen the report. They put them on a scale like 1 to 10. And so we know where are the good ones, the mediums, and the old ones. We fixed a lot of the ones that were replaceable and we got them done. But they're always aging. And so, yeah, we spend a lot of money on bridges. But you know how it works with bridges. You can go flying down the road, but when you get to the river, you want to be able to don't get wet.
You don't want to go in.
So you want the bridges to work.
No doubt about it. I mean, we saw that out here with the Showman Arch Bridge for the city of Newark. Had to shut it down right away. They may be done finally over here with the two over Raccoon Creek over on 16. Is it? You know, they're paving there. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of bridges that I don't think folks kind of realize the importance of what they mean to the county.
Public safety.
It is. There's no doubt about it. Because, like you said, I don't want to be driving over a bridge and it buckles.
Nope.
That's not what I'm looking for.
Bill Osher, when he was the county engineer, told me when he convinced us that we needed to borrow a bunch of money and do a bunch of bridges, he said it lingered with him his entire life. He was an assistant engineer in Fairfield County, which is where he's from, Lancaster, worked for the engineer down there, and they had a bridge fail, and it cost someone their life. A car went down, and a female lost her life, and he said that hung with him the rest of his life. That, I mean, they would have fixed it if they had known it. You know, it's one of those things that happens. But he said it really brought home to him that when a bridge fails, I mean, it can be that can be devastating. Mm-hmm. So he said he never wanted to have that happen during his watch as a county engineer in Licking County. And that was one of the reasons why we did a bunch of bridges. And we still do, because it's one thing just to have a creaky old bridge, but number two, if one fails and somebody gets hurt, it is public safety.
Yeah. Coming up at the end of the month, really a neat event, Ohio Erie Canal Bicentennial Celebration. And, you know, I was telling you, I grew up in the Akron area, so I mean, I'm very well versed in the canals and the importance of what they played in the history of that city and here in Licking County. But this will be a really neat event folks need to take part in.
Yeah. It's going to be June 28th down at Canal Market. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a rededication of the canal.
Oh, look, there's people calling right now wanting to know about
somebody's
it.
Somebody's excited. It's from 10 to 2 that day. Well, Rick gets his call there. 10 to 2 that day. And but here's a big deal. I mean, originally the governor of New York, DeWitt Clinton, and the governor of Ohio were there to watch the first spadefuls of dirt turned here in Licking County for the big canal, or the big ditch, as they called it. Well, Governor DeWine's going to come over to Licking County to Newark that morning and be the keynote speaker.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, for folks who don't understand the history, and I mean, you can go down there. I mean, there's the different placards and stuff that tell you. But, I mean, this is something that needs to be celebrated when you talk about the engineering of this.
You drive, particularly out in my area, Union Township, so much, a big part of the canal went through Union Township. You know, you go out Canal Road at Hebron, you know, some of the canal's still there, feeding the fish hatchery and so forth. But you stop and think what went into building that. In those days when they didn't have the equipment we have now, it was manual labor, shovel, slip scrapers, and mules. Just imagine they got that done as well as they did, as quick as they did, and for the distance it covered. Oh, my gosh.
Thousands of immigrants helped to dig the canal. It was the big ditch But what it did, and I think that's what has to be celebrated, it turned Ohio from the wilderness into a connected Ohio to the rest of the world. Lake Erie and the Ohio River, all of a sudden now people who were in the interior, farmers like yourself mm-hmm. and others who really couldn't get their produce out to the markets, like to the north, like your area up in Summit mm-hmm. County and Cuyahoga up to the lake, and all of a sudden, Ohio became a big deal.
You've been listening to Inside View on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank our guests today, Licking County Commissioners Rick Black and Tim Bubb. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.